Hello and welcome to ABW Radio. I'm your host John, not the pirate as advertised. He's not here. I think he's got scurvy on his internet or something like that. So I'm taking hosting duties tonight. The Jonah rule has been broken yet again. We kind of cheated a little bit because I wasn't supposed to host, but we beat Chelsea going to a Wembley final. Lovely stuff. Is against Man City, but we'll worry about that when we get to it. Really good game. And as a special treat, we've got three guests tonight. We've got, as advertised, Carl, the man who runs the underground. How you doing, mate?
All good.
Good to hear you. We've got surprise guest Josh, who is filling in for Chris.
Yeah, thank you for bringing me off my bed to come here and host. Join in,
That's
but sure,
quite
I'm sure
all
I'd do
right.
a better job anyway, and I'll keep it shorter so Carl can get back to where he really wants to be as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we also have, because I bugged him and bugged him and bugged him and so did the chat box, we got Danny on as well.
Aha.
You're right.
Doing O2. My beard fell off.
Yeah. You
That's
look,
me
you were a bit
saying.
upset. You didn't want to come on, did you? Because you said your hair's a mess.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's them all talked out. Plus, I'm busy tomorrow, deliberately fucking up words of players' names so Gimli gets fucking angry with me. Akbom, you silly fat. Ah!
As you can tell, we're all in happy mood, as I'm sure everyone in the chat box is. I just have a quick hello to everyone. Rudy Rasselos, Matthew Wright, JBoy72, Frank Gunner, N235, JV82, J Rob, Remri, Chill Doctor, Archie, Sidhu, Schwin Lakagunner, Norma Ott, Bradley Tucker, Carly Guna. If I've missed anyone, apologies. Stephen Edwards. Hello, 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 everyone. I don't do it as well as Jace. It's the Welsh accent. I can't do it. Anyway, we'll get into the game. We're not going to dwell too long on the lineup. I'm just going to ask you, Carl, was this what you expected? We obviously defeated the Mighty Palace at the weekend, and you put the same team out, barring Czech, obviously.
Yeah, I thought he was a great team. I was happy to see the 4-3-3 because that's kind of how we lined up, and we've been asking for that for ages and ages and ages. And I think Arsene's finally, obviously, he's a subscriber to ABW, and everyone else should do as well because he's listening to us and he's playing 4-3-3, which kind of fits the players that we have at the moment.
Yep. I don't think there was really any surprise in there. We didn't have a lot to choose from. Ospina came in for Czech, and he's been playing in World Cup games anyway, so that wasn't a big shocker. The only question was whether maybe Ramsey would have been fit enough to start, and he obviously wasn't, but he came on and made the appearance, as did Kolasinac. So not really too much to talk from there. From Chelsea's point of view, the big thing was no striker tonight, so they had that sort of mobile front three of all three wingers, basically just sort of kind of floating around of Hazard, Willian, and Pedro. We're going to the start of the game. Danny didn't start off great. First couple of minutes, I see you put a tweet out saying that I'm a witch, as I predicted a Chelsea
Burn
win.
the witch.
Yeah. Pedro scores a goal, was offside, but it kind of set the tone for the first half a little bit and our defensive display, at least, shall we say.
Oh dear, yes. I was thinking, how would I get around this? I would think I would get the sub goalkeeper and I would have a quick 6v6 for 5 or 10 minutes before the game started. Because so often we go out there and it doesn't seem like we're ready, that no one's warmed up. They do that bullshit with a cone thing. And I know Akiba sent us in a video a while ago when we were down at Southampton and videoing them doing the cone thing. It was like taking your dog for a walk and having them just fucking zim, zim, in and out of it. Zoom, not zim. I don't know what a zim is. Going in and out of them. They need to warm up properly. They need to be ready because they weren't ready. And I think quite a lot of teams know that go out and get at us straight away. I mean, that was virtually two goals they scored in the first 7 minutes. And it
Yeah.
was only by a gnat's testicle that first goal was disallowed. And obviously, with the way that timelines work, that the second goal wouldn't have happened if the first one would have gone in. But that's not the point we're trying to make.
Yeah, there we go. Immediately, Danny diverges into parallel universes within
Oh,
a
Star
minute.
Trek is fantastic at the moment,
Oh,
people.
it is. Oh, yeah, because it is. Oh, yeah. Spoiler. No, I nearly said what it was because some people might not have seen it because it's the
We
funny.
knew it,
Yeah.
didn't we? We bloody knew it.
Anyway, Josh, we'll go on to the first goal. And it was from that little git, Eden Hazard. I mean, it was a good move by Chelsea, but it could have been broken up by our midfielders. And I don't think Mustafi did too well on that either. What was your take on that first goal?
Yeah, I think as Danny said, and we almost had it against Palace at the weekend, where basically if you catch us cold at the beginning, there's always a chance that you'll grab a goal. And with a team that was slightly better, than the Palace team that we played at the weekend, then yeah, Eden Hazard picks it up, and he's such a good dribbler that he was just completely through our team. I think the fact that we've reverted back to a back four had not really helped. I think Koscielny especially, because he was expecting a man to be between him a little bit closer, because he's been playing out on that wider of the three, basically, compared to, you know, Mustafi, who's been sitting centrally, and perhaps had assumed that Elneny, who's tracking there, would be tracking Hazard all the way into the box. But slight communication breakdown, and it's a given that, you know, you've changed the system. It's only the second time that it's occurred, really, that we've played this in recent weeks. And yeah, Koscielny's been caught cold on it, and Hazard with a superb finish that you'd expect from a player of that quality, really.
Yeah, it was a good move, and obviously we'll get on to our response, which wasn't too long after that, but in particular that first half, up until Willian went off, really, we struggled defensively, Carl, with who we were picking up. Elneny in the Palace game, I know he wasn't obviously tested as much, but he was the man kind of covering and anchoring in front of the back four. But until Willian went off, our defenders didn't know who exactly they were picking up, because of Chelsea basically not playing without a striker. Playing without a striker.
Yeah, they kind of confused us. I mean, when I saw the team sheet, I thought, okay, where's the goal threat coming from? We know Hazard always is a goal threat. But I think the movement as well, Chelsea's movement in the beginning of the first half was very, very good. And it doesn't take much to confuse our defence, to be honest, but they played really well. And I thought, I looked at the team, I thought, okay, maybe this is, you know, where Chelsea's going to go, you know, maybe in the future, because they did really play well and their movement was fantastic. And unfortunately, the goal came, and, you know, Hazard and Winnie, and they were causing us untold problems. And obviously he went off, and the game kind of settled down after he went off, and we kind of found our rhythm. I think, you know, as Danny said, we just weren't ready, but we settled into the game well, and we came back, obviously, with the goal.
Yeah, and we got onto that goal. It was a strange one, both of our goals, actually, to be fair, tonight. But it came from, it hasn't been credited to him, but he was certainly my man of the match. I don't know about you guys. I'll ask you in a minute. Nacho Monreal. We've been scoring goals from set pieces lately. It's nice to see, but obviously got a bit of luck. I don't think I've ever quite seen deflections like that. When I first saw it, I thought it just come off Rudiger, and then you saw it from the other angle and it's bounced off Alonso and then Rudiger, and Caballero's sort of, I don't know what he's trying to do there, like dancing from side to side, and then just got no chance. Danny, how good for you was Nacho tonight? And like every time the ball was in the box, he was just attacking it really well, wasn't he?
Oh, every time that I see him, I just see that picture of him jumping up 30 foot in the air, Bruce Lee style, ready to ninja kick the ball in the back of the net like he did in, I don't know what game he did that in, but that was absolutely magnificent. No, it was probably against Chelsea. But we thought that maybe he was going to be out injured again for a little while, but Wenger did exactly the right thing at the weekend. Monreal came on, did his business, scored a goal, got two assists, went, right, that's me done, lads. I'm off to have a bath and a cigar and I'll brandy and I'll see you at half-time. And it proved to be the right thing, because resting a player as soon as he gets a knock, and that means he comes back for the next game. Although he's operating tonight, he only got a 7.5. I don't know how the hell they work this nonsense. Who got man of the match? It doesn't say who got man of the match. Yeah, but it's fantastic. It was all over the place. He was getting all over the place in a good way, getting stuck into every single tackle. Wasn't afraid to go shoulder to shoulder against people. I know a couple of times the referee, like the Mustafi one, that was no way a foul. And it's nice to see that he's coming up to 32. He's been out of the team for a little while, and he has come back to be the kind of form that he was in at the beginning of the season. And I think a lot of people said last season, I think he comes second in our player of the season behind Sanchez, and I think he could be on for player of the season again, because he's reliable, he's getting his best ever season for goals and assists and everything, and it's brilliant. But I mean, I saw you lot all talking, trying to figure out what kind of formation we were playing. Was it five at the back, was it four at the back, and didn't you come to the conclusion that we're just playing a very narrow four at the back?
Well, I mean, to me, it looked like a back four to me, but I think it was more we were slightly getting pinned back by the wing backs that Chelsea were playing. And I want to come on to that, because after that goal, Josh, the first half, it was I thought, fairly even. Chelsea had a bit more possession, but they didn't really test us too much. Hazard was still causing some problems, and Alonso in particular. But Danny said there, Nacho was playing quite narrow, and it was actually Alex Iwobi, who's come into a lot of stick lately, I think fairly so. But he defended really well tonight. His decision-making, his passing, again, wasn't the best, but he really nullified Victor Moses, didn't he?
Yeah, definitely. I think the key thing that we saw from Iwobi, although he did turn over possession, compared to the player that he's replaced in the starting lineup, he's very secure with the dribble, if you know what I mean. Not like Harry Kane, he's not secure with his dribble at all. But in terms of holding the ball and carrying it, he generally takes it up the pitch. It is his passing that lets him down. There were a couple of occasions where he's looking perhaps to play too cute a pass, and I think just playing it a little bit safer would be a better option. But that comes with age. You know, the guy is still, you know, in his very, very early 20s. So it's kind of expected that he's going to make a couple of mistakes. And I think the fact that we've brought Mkhitaryan in can only be good for him, because it's going to give him that extra push. And he's also got a player to learn from. In terms of playing out wide, but as a playmaker, I think that's really what he did at Dortmund that really got him his move to United ultimately, and why we were courting him at the same time. But overall, yeah, as I say, it played really, really well. I thought Elneny also did very well. I think that's where I thought, I think especially Carl was the one that pointed that we may be playing five at the back, was I assumed because of how Elneny was doing that almost traditional look that we had of the player in our midfield that sits back and almost drops into the middle. You remember like Pete Gilberto Silva, that's exactly the movement that he would do. Everyone would go upfield, but he would sit. The wing backs or full backs would push on. Then you're left with the two centre backs who at the time would be Sol and Torre at that time. And he would sit in between the two of them because he was a centre back by trade, and we just deployed him in midfield due to his ball playing skills. And I think fundamentally that's what I saw happening in the game. So yeah, perhaps it's a three at the back, five at the back. But as you say, I think it was just a narrow four in defence with Elneny dropping in to that centre-back position, which I think he's learnt that because of where we played him during pre-season, where he did actually pick up that position.
I agree with you. That's the thing that that kind of made it hard to shape the back four, three, five, whatever it was, because Elneny was drifting in and then letting other people go running around. That's the kind of player, and that's the kind of performance from that kind of player in that position we've been wanting for, what, two seasons now? It's brilliant. So pleased.
Yeah, it's since we got Cox to stop doing that, basically. And that's where we became defensively insecure.
Yeah. Brilliant, though, so, because he's so nimble as well and so quick to get up and get in and slide in for a tackle, then get up, get the ball, run off again. You're thinking, wow, that's not what I wouldn't really have thought that was his idea. If anything, I thought he was maybe more of an attacking and creative midfielder at times. But yeah, he's really shown that he's the new Jules Grimandi.
I did, just before we get onto the second half, because I think that's more the half everyone wants to talk about because we're much better in it, Carl. I did just want to highlight a little bit. I felt a bit sorry for Hector in the first half. He wasn't getting the most protection down his side. And he had basically Pedro and Hazard both drifting over there and Marcus Alonso to deal with at times. Mesut, as good as he is, was a little bit lack in the first half in his defensive duties.
When is Mesut Ozil not lacking his defensive duties? As good as Mesut Ozil is, and he, you know, Mesut Ozil is a fantastic player going forward. His touches today, we'll get onto that later, was absolutely brilliant. Defensively, he's not that guy, and he obviously sort of relies on the rest of the team to do his defending for him. And you're right, what we're saying, I did really feel sorry for Bellerin because he was getting double teamed, you know, not in a good way either. Like,
that, Carl. Good way.
But
what goes on in those undergrounds, Carl?
Well, you know, there is that secret chain, but shh, hush, hush. But yeah, it was. But he coped with it. That's the thing. And he hasn't been the best, Hector Bellerin, but give credit where credit is due. You know, he managed to fend them both off and he handled it. And, you know, he, like I said, he hasn't been doing the best, but when it comes time to him not being stupid and sitting back. And that's what I noticed today. Today he wasn't, you know, going as far forward as he usually. He sort of knew when to stay back and when to go forward. And I thought today he was very smart. He played a very smart game today. And, you know, sometimes you have to take your hat off and say well done to the player.
Yeah. John, on Mesut Ozil, do you think that's not a lazy criticism to say that he's defensively weak? A couple of seasons ago when he first joined us, yes. But recently,
I don't think it's every game. I think he's much more improved. Yeah. And I think second half he was better. But I did think first half he really didn't help Hector at all. And it's weird because Chelsea going wide across the ball didn't make much sense tonight, especially in the first half, because they didn't have a target to hit. So, I mean, ultimately it wasn't particularly effective. But leaving a fullback isolated, getting, you know, as Carl said, you know, 2-on-1 from whether it was Hazard and Pedro coming across, or Alonso, who had just that whole of our right hand side to himself. I'm not criticising anyone particularly tonight. There are a few players I thought, you know, could have done things better, but I thought Ozil first half was just wasn't switched on enough. Like, it was just sometimes when you watch him, you think you could run a little bit quicker to get back and help, or, you know, you're walking a little bit back there when you can see there's a player clearly needs help or assistance or an easier pass. Second half, I thought he was much better and he really helped out, but I just thought Hector was really isolated in the first half. Sorry, Josh.
I thought you were just going to continue on from that.
No, it's fine. it's amazing people. I'm going to be nice about Arsenal. I know. It's shocking. So second half, you know, the first half ended, and I don't know about you guys, I thought as it was just 1-1, I thought we did okay. You know, Chelsea had more of the ball, but they didn't do a ton with it. As soon as Willian went off, they didn't look as good at all. That was when we saw Ross Barkley come on, who is a player I've always liked, but looked dreadful tonight, to be perfectly honest.
Same here. I think he's just unfit because he hasn't played for ages, has he?
Yeah, he's a player I've always really liked, but yeah, he didn't look very good tonight. And apparently Jack Wilshere doesn't like him either, because he was only on the pitch for 30 seconds before Wilshere done him and got booked. So maybe, I don't know if that was just Jack being Jack, or there's something from the England camp or whatever gone on there, but it made me laugh anyway. But second half we came out, and kind of the story of our season, we kicked on and we really, really improved second half. We were much faster, winning 50-50s, getting to the ball quicker. Josh, coming back to you, is this where a lot of the frustration lies with you when you watch Arsenal, that they don't do this from the start of games?
Yeah, a little bit. I think it has been a hallmark of Arsenal for at least a good number of years, that they're just very slow with the way they start. But ultimately, they do need almost that wake-up call that, you know, Arsenal always kind of start 1-0 down, because we do tend to have to score two goals to get ourselves back into a position. But, you know, ultimately, I think while we're winning, it's less of an issue. I don't want to sound too much like a Liverpool fan, because that's the Klopp response to everything. But I think with the four at the back, and if we maintain this, then I think we can keep clean sheets with it. It's just a case of we're transitioning back to a more stable base. We're seeing what Elneny's doing in there, and it's a case of the guys that are behind him aren't getting that understanding. I think the most worrying thing would be is how that back, we'll call them a back three for argument's sake, kind of cope with one of them being so injury prone that you're going to have to keep bringing in another in there, yeah, in either Rob Holding or Callum Chambers or Mav. I don't know who comes in at that point, but someone's going to have to rotate out with him. So we'll have to see what happens there. But perhaps we'll see that when we have to go off to Sweden, off to Östersund's, because I don't expect someone like Koscielny to go out there with his Achilles, because it's going to be like -100 or something.
Yeah, I was trying to remember where that was tonight. I was talking to my dad about it. I was like, I think we're playing a team in Norway or Denmark, or yeah, I don't, somewhere around there.
It's basically right at the top of Sweden. Might as well be playing on the Arctic Circle.
Is it actually in the Arctic Circle? It might be if it's far enough north.
It's pretty close. I think one of the posts is actually the North Pole.
Oh, God. So yeah, I thought we came out second half and we were much better. Chelsea were, I don't know, they just looked a bit sluggish. And we've, last couple of games, Cole, we've been either equal to Chelsea or I think better than them, pretty much. Do you think it's, I don't know, is it something we've got over the players, or has Arsene sort of got one over on Conte, or is there anything you can kind of point to?
It's definitely since Mourinho left. We've
that's for sure. Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. It's just because I remember the 3-0 Conte's first season, where we wiped the floor with them in the first half, and then I think when we went to them, I think we lost 2-0 after that, didn't we? And the games have been sort of very close. Maybe he has got one over him. I think Ozil and Josh, I think, pointed this out in the last game. Whenever Kante plays against Ozil, Ozil always manages to just control him, have him in his pocket. I don't know what it is. Kante seems to have a mental block when it comes to Ozil, because he just can't get near him. And even today, I don't know, they were sort of, Kante and Bakayoko were fouled. Was it Bakayoko?
Bakayoko.
Fouling. They're just rotationally fouling all our players all the time, and they managed to get away with it. But I don't know. Whatever Wenger's doing, keep it up. Do you know what I mean? Against Conte, because we need all the points. I mean, we are not going to play them again this season. And so we've got what we needed to get from him. We have a league win against him. No, draw, wasn't it? Yeah. We drew against twice, and we managed to get to a final via Chelsea. So, you know, at the moment, it's definitely 1-0 Wenger.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what it is, but yeah, just every time we play them at the moment, they still offer a goal threat, but we just always seem to be that little bit better. And I think we definitely were over the two legs. We definitely deserve to go through. Danny, we'll get to the winning goal. Came from a rather unlikely source. Mr. Granit Xhaka, or do we give that one to Rudiger as well? He did say that he had the heart to play for Arsenal before he signed for Chelsea. So do you think he's moved, like, eyeing up a transfer? I'm not quite sure who he was playing for tonight.
It was their entire team were shocking. They were just relying on Bakayoko. Steve was doing a count. And I think at one point, Steve had to take his shoes off to count how many fouls Bakayoko did without getting done. And then poor little innocent Kante did one and got booked. Was it Moses and got booked? One of those two.
Moses got booked, yeah.
One and got booked. He must have gone, funny I spoke English, I'll get the ump about this. Yeah, it was... Yeah, Rudiger. I thought it was a weird signing in the first place. Played an absolute... They're getting from Italy.
Yeah, they signed him from Roma, yeah.
Yeah, an absolute fortune. I always thought he was a right back. But whether... Yeah, the first goal was just brilliant, because he was like, what can I do about that? And that second one, I remember screeching into the WhatsApp group going, oh my God, it's like Ian Wright is back. And instant, you had a nanosecond to see the ball, get it, tip it in, and then they realised in the replay that it's come off his foot. It was just a stroke of luck that it went in. But that's the kind of thing that we need, for a little bit of luck going our way for once. But Rudiger, yeah. In fact, I'd let Rudiger have it, because then Chelsea, not only can they not beat us home or away, not only are we their bogey team, but our top goal scorer against them is going to be one of their own players.
Yeah, I mean, if they gave the second goal to Rudiger as well, that would have been all three goals scored by Chelsea and we win 2-1. So that would have been magic.
That's good.
In that goal, Josh, I just wanted to highlight a guy who he didn't score tonight, Lacazette. But he absolutely worked his ass off. And it was a bit of fortune, obviously, from him. He was looked to me like he was trying to pull it back to the edge of the box to, I think, Iwobi. But his work rate and running into the channels was great again tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things that I think, even though he's not scored as many goals as we'd expect, but I think overall what he's given us is just that kind of movement up top that we've kind of missed from a while. I think that's why we had Alexis playing there last season, was because of the fact that he could bounce up and down. And yeah, I think as Matthew Wright's just put in the chat box, Lacazette does hold the ball up really well. And I totally agree with him, because that is what I think we've kind of missed. And you'd hope that if Giroud is going out this window, that we have at least got someone who can hold the ball up. Maybe not in the same way that that Giroud can, but the fact that you can play off him and he's slowly, with every game, learning the players that are around him. And I think that's the key thing for the success of Lacazette, is that everybody understands what he's about, because we even saw Xhaka playing a couple of balls over the top.
Yeah.
And for him to run onto. And I think just mixing up how we play the ball into him as well would be even more of a benefit. So just trying to lump it over the top to him. But the fact that he can come short just makes it so much better.
Yes. Yeah,
he's properly multifaceted.
He's a lot physically stronger than I think people gave him credit for. You know, because Rudiger and Christensen are really big guys. And he's a dwarf in comparison to them. But he really battled with them and muscled with them till tonight. There was a couple of times I thought in the first half when he was making those runs off the shoulder of the player and he wasn't receiving the ball when he was clearly frustrated again, as we've seen him in games. But there was one time in particular, Bellerin got down to the right-hand side and put a really good ball in. And I thought Lacazette was a little bit lazy to not make that near post run. Something that I know, Josh, you always love about Giroud, that always does that kind of thing. I think that's something that he could definitely add to his game, because he's got the speed of thought to get past the defender and be in the right place for that kind of thing, hasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. I think it is the case of he's trying to learn what actually happens when one of our players gets the ball to the byline. And to be fair, it is a lottery for whether or not the cross is going to come in or he's going to pull it back. But I think the fact that, you know, he's only been with us for, 4 months or so, that he's still bedding in. They're still trying to get an understanding with each other. You know, it took Giroud a while before players were actually pinging the ball into him at the near post, especially on the ground, because there's a kind of expectation that if a 6'4" guy is charging at the near post, he wants it in the air for a flick on. And I think it's just that case that, yeah, he's just bedding in. And while we've got that, I think it's all for the best that, you know, he'll get that understanding with these players, and having a player that can put a cross in will certainly help him.
Yeah, I'm seeing there's a couple of people in the chat box sort of giving Lacazette some criticism for the first half. I understand, but I think there's, you know, you do have to give a player a season sometimes. It does take that, you know, it does take that long with certain players. And also, he hasn't had a winter break, which he's not used to. He's used to having time off. So you still got to give him bedding in period. Add to that the games where he hasn't done 90 minutes, which is not his choice, clearly, because you can see he always wants to stay on. Although that was the case today, but I do understand the reasoning behind it.
Oh, definitely, because we genuinely only have one striker at this year, talking about Nketiah. So, yeah, take him off today, I can totally understand.
Yeah, I wanted to come to that, Carl, because we scored the goal, and I think from then on, again, we looked dangerous, had the ball when we needed it. Chelsea, again, probably on the balance of possession, I think they just edged it, but they didn't do a whole ton with it. Moses came off and they brought on Zappa Costa, who didn't do a whole lot. Bashiwai came on for Pedro as well. I think they realised they needed a striker up front, but I think Conte's right in saying that Bashiwai can leave because he didn't do anything tonight either. Certainly didn't do anything to impress me. But we made those two subs, two big players, Kolasinac and Ramsey coming on for Iwobi and Lacazette. Ozil sort of kind of played as a number nine, if you like, up front, just sort of floating free. Getting Aaron Ramsey back is huge. Didn't necessarily do a whole ton in the game, but seeing him back and being available for selection again is massive for us, isn't it?
Most definitely. You know, we want all our good players back. We want all the best players to be on the pitch. Where he fits into the team at the moment, I don't know, because are you going to take Jack out? Are you going to take Xhaka out? It's going to be quite interesting. I mean, they might go over midfield three of Ramsey, Xhaka, and Wilshere, which will be exciting to see, I think. I think that's going to be quite a good midfield three if that ever happens. I mean, obviously, I hope that it does. But, you know, we want all the best players back. You know, I want Giroud back. Whether that will happen, we don't know. But it's good to see the players coming back, fighting for their place and getting fit, getting the run of games.
Yeah, absolutely. Danny, I want to come to you on Kolasinac. It's less about the game tonight, really, because he obviously came on as a sub and he's been out injured for a while. I think everyone agrees Nacho is our first choice left back if we're playing the back four. I assume you guys all agree with that. Mm. But he's a few times now, Maitland-Niles has been picked over him. When there's been an opportunity to sub someone on for Nacho, Maitland-Niles has been picked first. And tonight we saw Kolasinac playing further up the pitch in place of Iwobi. Do you think this is something we're going to see a bit more often, like when we used to see Gibbs come on and play in front of Nacho, just to shore up one side of our team to see a game out?
Yeah, I remember years ago when we said on one side we'd like to have Debuchy and Bellerin, and then the other side we wanted Monreal and Gibbs, because when Gibbs was a kid, he used to play as a striker, and then have Bellerin as the more attacking down the right, and then we'd have double cover on the right, on both flanks, and that never really worked out, did it? And then we thought, what we'll do, we'll go and play three centre-backs and two wing-backs, because Bellerin, I mean, look at the pace the man's got. He loves to get forward. And like Josh was saying earlier, it hasn't really worked out for him doing that, has it? And tonight, he looked really good. When we were playing in the back four, Bellerin looks much better, and so it has to be Monreal playing at the left-back. But I do think that that's going to be a problem with Kolasinac, because where are you going to play him? Could we possibly see him? Is he good enough to play where Elneny played tonight? Could he do that job? Because other than that, I don't see there's a place for him anywhere.
I think he's played like DM once, maybe twice. I honestly can't remember, but he's played like left midfield, like further up the pitch, certainly, quite a few times.
Could Wenger's future be him, one of the midfield three then? Rather than where the sort of position Xhaka was playing tonight, because I don't think that he's got a future with us, because Wenger doesn't seem to rate him. I know the thing about the winter break is a valid point, and that could well be that, and we could be just looking for holes where there are no holes and just easing him into the team like he does with a lot of players. He's not doing that with Lacazette because he has no choice, because we've got no one else we can play out front. So whereas Lacazette would like to be eased in, but then again, he did come off at around the usual time as well, didn't he? But yeah, I mean, as soon as he came on, he clattered someone, and I thought, yes, that's what we like. Go out there, fuck someone up. Doesn't matter if you get booked, you're not going to play that often. Go out and do it. Lovely. Go and take Hazard out. It's like someone put in the chat box the first note, and they tweeted us and I said, who's your man of the first half? They said, Wilshere, because of the way he just come and clattered Hazard. I thought, yeah, that's brilliant. That's what we like.
Yeah,
I think absolutely. It's a quandary.
I don't know about Kolasinac at the moment. It's confusing. I can see obviously picking Nacho over him. That makes sense to me, but we'll see what happens with his future. Well, the game ended up sort of petering out. We got the last minute, check your heart palpitations as Chelsea got a corner and Caballero came running up. Is the goalkeeper's going to score a goal against us? But it didn't happen. We saw the game out. Mr. Wenger looked very happy. All on the bench did. We also saw a little Armenian man sitting there on a bench, our new signing, our new number 7 in the league anyway, Mr. Henrik Mkhitaryan. Do you want to have a go at that, Danny? No, yeah, okay, yeah. Mickey, as you will call him, obviously. For anyone who doesn't know, he's got number 7 in the league and not in the Europa, because you can't wear that because he's already registered as a number for United or something?
No, it's because Alexis is already registered as number 7.
Yes.
That stupid rule.
Yeah, so the bizarre rule. So I don't know what number he'll have in the Europa League, but yeah, we'll.
That's so weird.
UEFA all over.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even know what that UEFA League of Nations things was. I saw a tweet about it. Like, what is this?
I think it's similar to Leeds United's badge.
Twitter was a really weird place today. Like, and for once, it wasn't Arsenal related. So I quite enjoyed it. But yeah. I mean, there wasn't too much to talk about in the game. I just thought we didn't play amazing. I thought we were much better second half. Chelsea, you know, started okay. And I thought defensively they were quite solid first half, but faded second half. And I thought over the two legs, we definitely deserved it. So we've got a final. We're going to Wembley. I'll just go round the panel. Danny, are you excited for the final? We're obviously playing the mighty Man City, the unstoppable machine. Unless, of course, you're Liverpool, apparently. Did you see the picture of Klopp, by the way, the other day? Is him as Robin Hood? Have you seen that?
That was hilarious.
What is it? Robin taking the rich.
Given to the poor.
Yeah, with Swansea in the name. Marvellous.
Oh, dear. Twitter is a thing of beauty at times, isn't it?
So it's a competition that Arsenal hasn't taken particularly seriously in the past. Tonight, obviously, put out basically our best team that we had available. Do you think he'll go gung-ho for it in the final as well, put out our best 11 if everyone's available?
I'm not going to be doing anything else, are they? So I've got no idea what they're going to be doing, but I think it's going to have to just go all-out attack, isn't it? Because like they're all saying, they don't like it up them. Just do what Liverpool did. Don't play a goalkeeper, don't play any defenders. Just play every single striker up front.
Yeah, well, sounds good. Josh, do you think Arsenal's going to go for it, first choice 11?
Yeah, and I reckon we can beat City as well.
Oh, confident. Carl?
No, you play Nikita up front. he's got to. I think realistically, I know people may not think this is our only chance of a trophy, because I don't think we're going to win the Europa with the likes of Napoli and Atletico and Dortmund in it. So I think realistically, we can go for it. And, the unstoppable force, definitely. But we got a good record at Wembley. And the last time we played City in a Wembley match, we beat them. So why not do it again?
Yeah, absolutely. As Liverpool used to call it, Anfield South, I guess we can call it Emirates West or something. I don't know. Yeah. I'm amazed by watching Man City this season. I think they're playing brilliant football. But even I think we can win at the final. So, something strange is going on. And excitingly, we could have Aubameyang as well, possibly in the team for that. That could be really, really exciting. Because what do Man City do? Push up really high up the pitch. And what's Aubameyang got? Loads and loads of pace. So that should be fun. So we've not got too much to talk about in terms of the game. So if you have got questions, please fire away and put them in the chat box. I know Josh has already put them in there. We're trying to keep the show to an hour tonight because Carl's got a very, very early start. And we started a little bit late. So I'll start going through the questions. This one is just a statement from Jason Davies. Wenger is in his presser. Wenger, for fuck's sake, Danny, bastard. Wenger is in his presser. Just said, Sanchez is a cunt, his dogs are shit, and Danny is a plonker. Very good. Cheers, Jace. That's
bullshit. To be fair, Elneny did throw some shade in his post-match interview.
Oh, did he?
Alexis. Yeah, when they said, how do you feel about Alexis leaving? And he just responded, we're not a one-man team.
Oh, the daggers. I put up a tweet saying I was bored of the daggers at Alexis, but yeah, that got some interesting responses.
It's only better when it comes from our own players, I think. I'm bored of what Joe Public think. They're pretty boring.
I'll accept that all day long. And also, well done, Motherwell. That tweet you put out of whoever the player was re-signing. Did you see that? The parody of the Man United one of Alexis?
Quite good.
Yeah. I did see that.
The favourite bit is at the end where, you know, Alexis' name came up in all the cool lettering and stuff. And then the Motherwell one just came up and said, Pete.
You see the...
brilliant.
Talk about that. The Villa tweet about their game against Leeds where they used the Pez names for it.
Yeah. Instead,
because of their new badge. Oh,
dear. That Leeds badge.
Best recruiter club.
Right. Anyway, we'll get to the questions. Stephen Edwards. It's one for you, Danny. If old Wenger could zap back and tell young Wenger some advice, what would it be?
Shoot more.
that what you got for him?
Don't become friends with the players. You can't do that, because if you don't become friends with the players, half the players that have been deadwood at our club for the last decade would have been out of the club and fucked off, which is what we needed. So yeah, don't become mates with them. That's why I don't like any of you lot. Any of you lot have a bad show, you're out. Gone. You can fuck off to Goonosphere. Actually, they don't do it anymore. It's going to be guns in the USA. I mean, wear you out.
I couldn't do that with Mike. No. He'd kill me every week.
He makes you bath with him. It's horrible.
One from Ahmed Said. I hope I've said that right. I apologise if I've butchered that. Welbeck future if Aubameyang joins. Carl, we'll go on that.
Whether Aubameyang joins or not, Welbeck, I think in the summer, Welbeck's gone. Because as much as we like his energy and the way he runs, he doesn't really bring much to the team. Let's really be honest. And, you know, he pops up with a goal, and I mean literally here and there, but he is literally a 5 to 10 goal a season guy. Sorry. Sorry. It's not enough. It's genuinely not enough. So I think Welbeck will probably be on his way in the summer.
Fair enough. One from Ryan Cost. Would you fancy a 4-4-2 diamond if a Aubameyang deal gets done? I don't know about a diamond. I'd love to see two up front. That'd be great. I'd love to see Lacazette playing with a Aubameyang. I think that'd be amazing. Would a diamond work? Mkhitaryan, Ozil, Ramsey maybe, and then I don't know, it's tough. I just worry about our defence. But Josh, was it you who said we can go full Klopp? I can't remember now.
Probably, yeah, we're defensive, yeah, just whatever, two at the back,
just go guns blazing. One from Frank Gunner. Would you still walk Sanchez's dogs? I personally would, but it's because I love dogs. It's got nothing to do with it. I know lots of people said hate towards Sanchez's dog. It's not his dog's fault. Leave his dogs alone.
Gimli called him a fucking dog nonce. You hashtagged it.
I'm not going to get into my...
Hot calling kettle black.
Yeah, semi-defense of Alexis Sanchez. Not full defense, just semi-defense. Some slight misquotes. But yeah. Oh, speaking of dogs. Oh, look, Goon is in the USA. What did I tell you about Humber? I've been telling you he was a twat of a dog for 15 months. This is why I can't go on there. One from Archie. Here you go, Danny. Would Johnny Evans be a starter for us? Who drops out?
I don't think it's just a starter. I think it is having cover, so players don't have to continually play, because we do know already this half of the season, this year, 2018, that because Koscielny's played when we didn't really want him to play. Like, did he play against Palace? I think he did.
Yes,
yeah. That's the kind of games that he would definitely start in. He's the Northern Ireland captain. He's won 3 Premier League titles with Man United, whether he's been a bit part player or not. He's been in the Champions League final, I think they said he had. I think he might have even been in the squad for it. He's played loads of Champions League football. He's a big, strapping, old-fashioned style British centre-back, which is what we need. And he's still of a decent age. He's got so much experience. And even if he comes in, and I see him as like a kind of replacement for Mertesacker, not the quickest player in there, but he's going to get in there, he's going to get stuck in, and he's going to do a good job. I hope we sign him. Oh, my Dora's in the background. Hey, Dora. A fluffy girl. And she's not going to look, because I'm looking at the YouTube feed. Hey, Dora. All right. There you go. She's looking. On Dindins. I've gone off on one. Quick save me.
I'll quickly move on. Yes, Johnny Evans would probably be a starter. Maybe he'd rotate with Koscielny. And maybe if we got him, we'd go back to the back three. I don't know.
No, I want back three out the window.
I'm a big fan of the back four, but I'll be interested if we got him.
We're a big fan of anything around the back.
Mr. Beau Petit. This is interesting. Should Moses have been sent off? Even with VAR, it was a 2-foot challenge and he came off the ground. Does anyone remember the challenge other than me? Josh?
Yeah, I don't think it was a red card offence, though.
Yeah. Josh, did you see it? It was when Moses got
booked. No, I have to go full Wenger. I didn't see it. Yeah. Even with VAR, they should show more replays because I didn't see it.
I don't think... He had one foot and then the other one came round. I didn't think it was that bad. But I understand why the VAR thing came round. But I didn't think it was a red. I don't know. It ultimately ended, didn't matter, and Iwobi wasn't injured. So we shall move on. Matt Senasai. Do you think Danny will learn how to spell Mkhitaryan before he retires?
Actually, Matt is Mkhitaryan. I just don't like to say it. I do it to annoy Gimli.
You just said it perfectly. But can you spell it? Without looking at the chat box.
Mkhitaryan. I can even say Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. But don't tell Gimli I can say it. Matt sent me a thing because I gave him my shout on the podcast last week, and I completely butchered his surname. He's in Australia with an Italian surname. So I think it's Sansi. He's in the chat box now. So if I got that wrong, Matt, just let us know.
One from Renry. Do you think we have looked collectively better without Alexis? Will Mesut resign? Go on, Josh, because you hated the dog nonce, as Gimli called him. Do you think we've looked better without Alexis?
Yeah, as the dog nonce called the dog nonce. Dog nonce. I think that Alexis, for quite a few seasons, even the season where he was absolutely smashing it for us, there was always times where you're like, mate, just pass it, you bell end. There's a man in a completely better position and his stats would have gone from world class to just out of this world, smashing Messi and Harry Kane left, right and center. But I think in the two games, two games don't really make a season, and whether or not this has changed, but the team certainly look a lot more relaxed, less irritated that there's a pain in the backside in the way. But we'll have to see for the rest of the season and how Mkhitaryan drops in. But the signs early on do look like it has made a difference.
Yeah, I think it's too early to call it right now, but it's fair to say that Alexis wasn't great this season for us. Weirdly, his best game for us was the Palace 3-2. The only other league game we, what was that, the league game we won in December or whenever it was. As for the Mesut, will Mesut re-sign? We'll just go around everyone. Danny, will Mesut sign a new contract?
No, because they were saying there was a Reuters thing that someone tweeted. I didn't read the entire article, but the gist of it was we can't afford to have Mkhitaryan, Aubameyang and Lacazette and Ozil. Can't afford to have all of them and pay the wages because of the FFP bullshit. And as we we're never going to get the proper sponsor. Put Steve in charge of sponsors at the club. We'll be able to afford all of the players.
I think that, I know the article you're referring to. I think it was in Forbes or something. But
that was it.
We were like shortfall of like a million or two maybe, but that wasn't accounting for Debushi, I think. So if he goes as well, then
might
be okay. Yeah. But yeah. It was also, if we qualify for the Champions League, is another thing that will boost it, and then we'll be fine.
That's like about an extra 30 million a year, isn't it? Yeah. Something like that.
There's a big chunk of money. You think if we've got the money, we'll sign
Yes, hopefully we will, because there was one point tonight where the ball came flying over. When we were attacking the second half, the ball came flying over. He caught it with his left foot, put it down by his right foot, and it stopped dead. You're thinking, how the hell did he do that? The man's a witch like you. Yes, Josh, I need that.
Do you think he'll sign a new deal?
Yes, I do. And I hope he does.
No, non-Carpenter. Carl, do you think he'll sign a new deal?
No, I don't. I think if he's going to sign a deal, he'd have done it already.
Oh, savage. I agree with Carl there. I think the only way he stays is if no one else comes in for him when his contract's run out, and he'll say, "Oh, I was always going to sign. I was never leaving." Honestly, right. A couple more questions. No nickname required. Josh, there's two here for you, Josh. You're very popular tonight. Juve bought Buffon for a lot of money, and they had the position sorted for years. United invested in De Gea, and he wins them games. Should we just sign Oblak, or would you be happy with Butland?
Oh, that is a big one. They signed low to get Buffon's replacement, though. But then not every team is as generous as Arsenal when it comes to selling players.
And like Chiellini and Barzagli has been out injured as well, fuckers.
Anyway, I think De Gea was one that when he first came in was very up in the air whether or not he could make it in the Premier League. I think he's got the right manager to make De Gea look very good. Because he does have some big weaknesses, does that goalkeeper, but you know, a ball never comes into the box for him to have to deal with it. So he looks amazing every game. Oblak, I haven't seen enough of him personally. Spain's not a league I spend a lot of time in. Best person to ask, I would say, is Joel Meloir from the Hipsters. He's watched a lot of Oblak. He'd be the person I can speak to. Butland, I've seen a little bit more of him, obviously, with him being in the Premier League. Personally, for me, it would either be him or I would go left field and go Timo Horn from FC Köln. That's the guy that I would look at.
Relegated, he can go.
Yeah, I think there's already talk that Sven is looking at that deal, because if Köln go down, which inevitably they will, I think he's only available for relative terms of about 50p. So I think we'll get in on that, and he's good enough to sit behind, in that Ospina role and really push Petacek. Mm-hmm. Obviously dependent, and this is for Steve, especially if we get rid of the windmilling Morris dancer.
it's that's an interesting discussion, because goalkeeper, I don't think that obviously this window, but in the summer, it's something the club's definitely got to look at. But yeah, going for a younger guy who you can hopefully keep for 10 years, kind of like a Chesney, keep at your club for a long time would definitely make sense. There is one more for you, Josh, from Jason Davies.
Who's that?
Yeah, some dodgy Welsh bloke. I don't know. He's definitely sponsored by KitKat or something. Josh, do you stick by your statement that Xhaka should have been subbed at half-time?
I didn't say half-time, but yes. At the time, I thought he should have come off because he wasn't helping in our build-up play. It was mentioned a couple of times that those short passes, which can be difficult to pull off occasionally. He just wasn't putting the right weight into them or putting them onto the wrong foot of the player, and it was breaking us up. So I thought that bringing on Rambo, because I'd like to add, Ellis Mel, who was at the game, said that Elneny should have come off instead for Ramsey. Yeah, he can't respond. He can't. He's not listening at the moment. But yeah,
listens. He's too busy sticking his fingers up patients' bums.
Don't say that about the
Elneny. We're too fake.
Like, bad enough press as it is.
It's like a Dutch boy in a dyke. Hey. He's got fingers in holes everywhere.
One from, here you go, Danny, you'll like this.
Oh dear.
Carl, if you want to go, mate, you are more than welcome to pop off. You don't have to stay on. You look knackered.
Do you need a bedtime story, Carl?
Pardon?
Do you need a bedtime story?
Not from you, Danny.
No, I was going to say, Danny's a bit of a
I don't know where it's going to end.
I read those to Sean, so she was 14. You don't tell her.
All right, one from Michael Hardiman. Thoughts on Thierry's comments regarding Alexis and rumours going around that certain fans want his statue taken down because of them. Go for it, Danny.
Oh, well, from what I can gather, Sanchez said that, Thierry Henry didn't tell me that I should leave and I'd love him to come back one day and be the Arsenal coach. I mean, what are we going to make of that? Has Henry actually, is there any video or any quote, anything, any quotations of him in any of the media of him saying anything like this? Or is it just Sanchez being a twat?
Alexis put the message out when he left on his Instagram. It was a really long thing and it was clearly written by him, because the grammar in it and the English was terrible.
As it always is. Dear whoever this may concern.
No, it wasn't all nice, crisp PR stuff. It was it was clearly done by him. No, it was clearly written by him. The English was dreadful. or a really, really cheap translator is mugging him off.
Did on his phone.
Maybe I think it was Atom.
Yeah, I was going to say it might have been Atom or Humber. he said in the quote, and this is not verbatim, but the quote basically said, I remember having a conversation with Thierry Henry, an Arsenal legend, and I am leaving the club for the same reasons as he left before. I wish Arsenal all the best. Now, my interpretation of that is that he basically remembers having a conversation with Henry, and that Henry said, and he said in public, that he had to leave Arsenal because he wanted to win the Champions League. At no point did Sanchez actually say Thierry Henry told me to leave Arsenal, which is what
alluded
some
to
people, I don't know if it was like one of the, it's probably the Daily Mail or some shit house newspaper like that, allegedly, that maybe you misprinted it, you know, and then Thierry had to come out and defend himself because there was idiot fans demanding his statue be torn down.
That statue has to stay there so all the foreign fans can come over and get their obligatory pictures with it. And I'm sure I'd have my picture taken with it if I ever go to another game. I should be poking it in the testicles and calling him a toilet. So all I can gather from that is that in about 10 years' time, Sanchez will be all over Sky Sports going, I've always been an Arsenal fan. I love this club. I only left because I had to leave to win stuff. No. Proper gooners retire at the club or told to get out, like Seaman and Winterburn and Wright. They were all told to leave. And
Coquelin.
Yeah, and proper legends like Adams and Bergkamp.
Did you just call Coquelin a proper gooner? Oh, Jace is going to murder you next time he's on here.
He's a proper cockney gooner. I've been watching the Valencia. And did you see that game tonight? Oh, we shouldn't really talk about it. But one team brought a sub on, then he scored. The next team brought a sub on, and then he scored. Craziness in the Copa del Rey, people. Oh, funny, there was a podcast where people talked about that, eh, Josh?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
No plugs given. Fuck off.
We haven't done one in ages.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not allowed to plug it because it's not back on yet.
Yeah, exactly.
It's in hibernation.
Can't plug what's not there.
Oh,
I missed the cock already.
Right.
I'm not Chris.
Can I get that as a ringtone?
Like, you can tell that I wasn't supposed to be host tonight because I'm just not, you know. I'm not controlling this at all. Who the fuck is... There's someone, sorry, if anyone listens to this late, there's someone in the chat that's called Read and Then Delete Me. Can anyone here give me advice on how to get a girlfriend? I have crippling social anxiety and... Carl's just deleted him. He said, no, you've got no fucking hope, mate. You're done. You're finished.
What if he really has got that? What if he really has got issues?
Yeah, Carl, that's
is a football rude, podcast really the place to ask that question?
Yeah, just go and... Just,
John's
just
got his own line of... podcasts if you need to know about how to get a lady.
Yeah. Prime Snapchat premium, £25 a month.
It's swipes left on everything. then picks out the chaff from the wheat later.
Oh dear. But yeah, we are going to leave it there. I know it's a little bit shorter than the usual show, but yeah, this just kind of cobbled together last minute. As yeah, me and Carl were the only supposed to be the only ones on with Chris, so it's all Chris's fault.
I just want to say that Danny owes me money because I put down that Chris would have internet problems, and I think Danny was offering, was it 3-1 odds, Danny?
Yes. When I found out Jason puts a list up in the WhatsApp group of who's going to be hosting and who's going to be this lot.
Don't so give all I put the behind the scenes secrets out.
Yeah, and then I put up a thing giving an odds rundown on whether Chris would be able to make it or not. Shall I read out some of the things I put in there? I put a 5-4 favourite working late. This is why Chris wouldn't be able to make it. 3-1 not well. 5-1 bad hair day. 9-1 silk sheets need ironing. 25-1 scurvy. And then Ellis said, where's the odds for that? Oh, I didn't. What did Ellis ask? Oh,
odds for him turning up.
I watched him turning up when I put 1,000,000,000 to 1. Somehow you got a lot of money.
All right, okay. We've got one last question I will ask. Excuse me. Loki 73. Is Aubameyang a smokescreen to keep the natives calm? I'll just go around the table. Danny?
Yes.
Ooh, Josh?
I think most of our fans could be persuaded by something shiny to, you know, get their mind off anything else. But no, I think we are actually going for him. But watch this hit me in the face when we end up with Sonogo back again on a free.
I love the way Loki spelt a bangimang as well. Aubangimang. Woof, hello.
That's you influencing the listeners. Carl, what do you reckon? Is it a smokescreen or is it legit?
Unfortunately, I think it's a smokescreen. I don't think we're going to sign him because at the moment, I think we're about £10 million or euros between the asking price and what we're willing to pay. So at the moment, it's not looking good. So all them people that say, oh, it's over the line, he signed already. No, he hasn't.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't think it's a smokescreen, but I think, I don't know. Hopefully we get it done. Ivan and Huss and Sven and all that are all out there trying to get it done. So they hopefully get it over the line. That's it. We're going to end the show there. Sorry for this absolute train wreck, but who cares? Because we're going to Wembley. We're going to a final.
Woo-hoo!
We get to play Man City. Hopefully we get to win and Arsene gets a trophy that he's never won before. We can expunge the memory of Obafemi Martins and Koscielny and Szczesny and all that cock up.
Oh, that's still
I think we should bring Szczesny back for it. Get the old gang back together.
Yeah. I wonder, does Obafemi Martin still play football? He's got to be like 60.
Yes, he is.
He does, doesn't he? Yes.
Oh, yeah. I can't think where he is. No, he left Seattle. Ooh. He's gone somewhere weird.
Mercenary? How dare you, sir?
Danny, get ready to press the button because I'm going to say goodnight to everyone. But thank you for coming on, Danny, as you weren't supposed to be here at all.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Josh, for filling in for the pirate.
That's all right. I can always take issues, however small and crystalled they are.
And thank you, Carl, for staying awake for us.
No worries. Early. I mean, obviously, when there's like a train wreck tomorrow, then when I'm in court, I'm going to be promoting ABW because they're the ones that kept me up.
Yeah, I mean, it's good public. You know, that's good advertising, to be fair. So, yeah, we'll take that. But yeah, that is it. We've been on ABW Radio, and I'll leave you with a little message from Loki 73. Labradors, not proper dogs. Good night, everyone.